What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 25th. And oh yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Just a reminder to everybody, it's Thursday. That means tomorrow is the SP Fab forecast. For those who have PL Pro, you get an exclusive podcast where I go over all your 12-teamer and 15-teamer Fab decisions for your starting pitchers. I also have inside of that a cheat sheet for your next week's sit and start. It's a full grid of every single start and my thoughts on from tiers 1 through 4, auto start to do not start, in addition to my two start pitcher rankings. So that is just for PL Pro members. And if you want to get a discount on PL Pro, you can go to pitcherlist.com/premium and put in promo code podcast in capital letters, PODCAST, at pitcherlist.com/premium. All right, Landon Knack. I had a wonderful time doing Knack Masterpiece. And if you don't know that reference, it's fine. That is just for me. Video Game Donkey is the guy that does it. Anyway, Landon Knack pitched well. 6 innings of 200 runs, 5 Ks, got the win against the Nationals. That's nice. He has a 4-seamer that does have a really high vert. Like, it's like 95th percentile and above. And he doesn't have the steepest attack angle. It's actually slightly above average, which is really cool. That's good stuff. He comes in at 92-93 here and 8 whiffs on it yesterday. I don't know if the rest of his arsenal is that great. Slider is a little inconsistent, the curve and change, whatever. I remember watching Knack in spring training and remembering that he's more, he's not really a massive command guy. He really looks more like a reliever, a fastball, four-seamer, and slider. But the fact that this is 2 starts where the Dodgers let him go at least 5, this is 94 pitches for Landon Knack, does suggest to me that he is the next in line here when they need another starter. And that might be very soon. So Walker Buehler is coming back by next week. That's the plan at the moment, which means that Knack is out, but then there's Paxton in there. And Paxton, I don't know how much longer that's going to last. You have Gavin Stone, who has not been that great. So you could see Knack involved. Is he a guy that you need to roster? I would not go after, especially right now, because let's say he does go on regular rest. It would be either the Arizona Diamondbacks or Atlanta. Don't want to start Knack for either of those two. But it is a good situation, like we have seen in the past for Dodgers pitchers, where if you just get enough starts for the Dodgers and are allowed to go 5-6 innings, you will get wins. We saw this with like Tony Gonsolin, right? Even when I didn't love what Gonsolin was doing. So Knack is someone to consider in about 2 weeks. But for right now, I think you don't need to go to the wire and get him. Cooper Criswell is getting some starts because all of the Red Sox pitchers are hurt now, including Brian Bayo, and Chase Anderson is going today, and you don't want to start him there, and that's just, I feel bad for them. People are like, oh no, don't feel bad for them because he won championships. I'm like, no man, just look, the Red Sox are going through a lot of stuff with their pitching staff. They had 6 guys. We were even debating if Whitlock or Houck would be allowed to start, and what has happened, 4 of them are on the IL right now. That's just brutal, okay? You know, I can at least appreciate that. Yes, of course, they've won championships and all the stuff they won in 2018. I get it. Don't feel bad for them. And I feel bad for Mariners fans. Like, I get this. Like, I really do feel bad for Mariners fans. I want them to get to the World Series. Whatever, fine. But also, that stinks. So I have sympathy, okay? Let me have sympathy. Shamania, I'm in a weird mood this morning. Shamania against the Giants. 4.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Yeah, don't go after Shamania. Like, he's just a Toby. If you're expecting this big breakout thing, you shouldn't. If you think, oh no, thinking he was going to be a Toby 6 innings every time, he kind of isn't. He will sometimes. But yeah, he's just not that great with all of his stuff. I do like that he has a wider arsenal. Now, that's cool. Cutters and sweepers and sliders and whatnot. And maybe it all works, but right now it's just not enough. Alec Marsh went against the Jays and actually was doing another good job. I mean, he had 2 good games against the Orioles, which is kind of weird. And then he had a decent one-ish. Like, it was 4.1 innings of 0 runs and 2 hits and 2 walks and 1 strikeout. I was like, this is working. And they took a comebacker to his arm. And I had a lovely time doing as many puns as I possibly could for this one. But anyway, he might not make his next start. I don't know if he does. I'm not really in on it if he gets the Jays again. I just think Alec Marsh is just not worthwhile. Josh Fleming, man, he's starting again? No, it was just a bullpen game for the Pirates. And we're going to see Quinn Priester tomorrow, so whatever, we move past that. You see Ryan Walker for a bullpen game also for the Giants as Blake Snell went to the IL with an adductor strain. Unfortunate stuff there. Really is just annoying with Snell, but he does this, right? Then he shows up in the middle of June and then is amazing, and everyone thinks he's great again next year. This is just the Blake Snell Blueprint. Reynaldo Lopez against the Marlins. You have 7 innings and 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. Of his 4 games, 3 of them have been against very bad lineups. The White Sox, the Mets, and now the Marlins. 1 was against the Astros, and that's at a time when the Astros weren't very good at that moment. It was 13 for 36 slider whiffs, where it wasn't like that precise slider that we see from other guys when they have these high slider whiff games. I think Reynaldo Lopez is a pretty decent sell high. At the same time, he is going to get double-digit wins. Like, he should be able to do that going every 5 days, right? So, I mean, every 5-6 days. He should go 25 to 30 starts this year. A third of them should be wins or so, and has been better than that thus far. 3 out of 4 or 2 out of 4, something like that. Yeah, I'm in on Reynaldo Lopez for the most part. It's just, he's not going to be this good. It's really a 2-pitch mix. Sometimes the curve shows up. When he faces decent opponents, like, you won't want to start him. So, keep that in mind. Matt Waldron in Coors. I was talking about this with Kyle Bland. Does it help a knuckleballer or not having the thin air? For me, it hurts it because you want it to be moving more. You want it to be more influenced by the weather, by the wind, because it can, because it has such low spin. But because it has such low spin, maybe that makes it have less spin, which makes it more erratic. I don't know. It's weird. Matt Waldron did well in Coors. Don't trust a knuckleballer. Okay, cool. You have Kyle Gibson against the Diamondbacks getting a King Cole because, you know, 3 out of 5 games, Kyle Gibson has done well now. And I do not want to trust him. You don't know what you're going to get in a given night. It's a complete toss-up. So I guess it's a cherry bomb of, like, the Toby degree. Yeah, no. Jameson Taillon is back. And fun fact, I am going to hang out with him on Tuesday next week. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm just going to talk about with him the struggles, or not really the struggles, but just his injury, how he's feeling right now, and things that he's adjusting with, and what it's like this year, all this kind of stuff. I'm just really happy to talk shop with him next week. So I don't know how that will come out as a podcast. It could be a talking pitching episode. I think we're going to move all the talking pitching stuff to the craft moving forward, which will be really fun. So make sure you're subscribed to that one, that individual feed, which is not on the main pitcher list feed. That's me and Enosaurus as a recurring guest. But yeah, I look forward to this. It was 5.2 innings and 1 earned run, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks against the Astros. I don't think he had great command here. And I think he got away with a little bit. 9 base runners in 5.2 innings. He's sitting just 92, 93, not 94, or even flirting with 95 as we've seen before. He didn't do well with his curve. He had his sweeper and cutter for the most part getting strikes. It's not quite the polish that we want to see with Taillon. Spencer Turnbull at the Reds did well, and it's so annoying that the Phillies are saying, yo, we're going to just not have him in the rotation because Taiwan Walker's coming back. And we go, oh, yeah, Taiwan Walker. Didn't we not like him? Yeah, we didn't like him at all, but, you know, we paid him a lot of money. So I don't care. Do a 6-man or whatever. Why would you remove this? This is 5 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 3 walks, 8 Ks. I have ranted about this before. Don't drop him yet. Don't drop him yet, because there's still time for the Phillies to say no. Until he actually moves out of it, don't do it. Okay? Don't trust them. Don't believe their lies. John Gray against the Mariners, 4.2 innings of 1 earned run, which is fine, except you won one more out for a win. Didn't get it. 7 hits, though, 1 walk, not great. 7 Ks. Like, this is kind of standard affair for John Gray. Really good slider. Questionable four-seamer, got enough strikeouts against the Mariners, but didn't last at 92 pitches here, right? So you can give another shot if you want against the Nationals. It's up to you. Sean Armstrong opened for Tyler Alexander, which is interesting because Tyler Alexander, I mean, I've been calling him the Friday Pirate. It seems like every other start, he either opens the game and is the starter, or he gets opened four. And you want the open four because that means he will go likely the same amount of innings, which are number of innings, which is 4 innings here, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, but you didn't get the win. It got ruined, and then they got, I hate this scoring thing about, like, a reliever comes and blows the win, and then their team rescores it, and that guy gets the win. Why? Why? Just give it to the other guy. It's like, just resets it. That's so stupid. Anyway, you didn't get the win. You didn't get what you wanted. And it was only 56 pitches, only 4 innings worth of expression of a bad ERA. And this is why I generally don't play the Vulture win game, because it's just, yeah, you have a slightly higher chance, but at what cost? At what cost? You know, you don't really want to make a roster spot for like a slightly higher win chance. You want to make a roster spot that is one that potentially is not streamed, that is actually held onto because they are this good through the year, right? I don't know. If you're desperate and you need something, I get it for just that win. That's fine. But to actually roster and hold for, no, is not really the thing I want to go for. Jordan Montgomery and others had nights. Shocking. And we're going to talk about all of them after this break. Jordan Montgomery, otherwise known as the Bear from me, with 7 innings of 2 runs and 6 hits and 1 walk and 4 strikeouts. So, and got a loss. You're wondering, okay, so 7 innings, he must have had a really good death ball, right? The curveball that is just so good. Nope, 0 for 27 whiffs. No. Yeah, it was a 17 balls in play on the sinker. I mean, okay. There you go. That's the life of the Bear. Do you want that life of a Toby? Probably not. I mean, deal him is what I would do. I would sell Jordan Montgomery. I'm just like, you're doing that thing and it's not going to really get out of that. Maybe you'll have a couple weeks of him being great and then it'll be like, ugh, that's Jordan Montgomery for you. He gets the Dodgers next, not for me. Dean Kramer against the Angels got the win. 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. Oh, man. Splitter, right? No. 1 out of 11 whiffs. Sub 50% strike rate, I should say, on that splitter. Yeah, Dean Kramer looking like the best version of Dean Kramer from 2023. That is 4 seamers and cutters doing the work. 48% C-sub in the cutter. 10 whiffs on the 4 seamer. He got that one upstairs. He's a werewolf. He's good once a month. And this was the good one against the Angels. Got the win. That's nice. But generally, he's too risky for me. I don't want to start him against the Yankees. Tyler Anderson against the Orioles. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 7 Ks. Honestly, that's good for Tyler Anderson against the Orioles. Good changeup here. And 8 whiffs on that pitch. This is nice. Good cutters. Like, that's a good showcase that Tyler Anderson is still a Toby. The thing is, he gets the Phillies next, and you don't really want to take the chance. Like, if you think about starting pitchers as just a probability spectrum, of like, is this going to help me or is this going to not? And this guy is like a 65% chance. This is a 25% chance. Like, Anderson always has, it's never a zero. And it's not really 10% with Anderson. It's always like a good baseline of like 25%, 30%, right? So against these tough matchups, it's not helping. And if it's against a good matchup, then you get closer to like 50% or something like that. Okay, cool. Bryce Wilson against the Pirates, 4.1 innings of 200 runs. We do not care. And you're looking for the other Bryce, which is Miller. Yeah, against the Rangers. 4 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 5 Ks. And this is Bryce Miller. This is what Bryce Miller was last year. This is what he is now. There's nothing that, like, I wanted this to be that game that Bryce Miller actually has everything and says, look, I can handle the Rangers, and I have all of the things working, and you should trust me, Nick. And he says, do you trust me? And I say, no. And then he falls off his flying carpet. Sorry. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Great. And Bryce Miller is Bryce Miller. That doesn't mean he's not good for your fantasy teams. It's just he's not going to be an ace anytime soon until we actually see that development on his secondaries and really take the next step. And we haven't seen it yet. So we just twiddle our thumbs. In the meantime, he's in purgatory. Joe Boyle against the Yankees, at least he threw some strikes. Yeah, 3 innings of 200 runs, that's all right. But 7 base runners, including 4 walks and 6 Ks and 85 pitches for 9 outs. 85 pitches, 9 outs. This is Joe Boyle. Joe Ryan earned a gallows pole, 19 whiffs against the White Sox. That's expected. 6 innings with a win and 5 base runners and 8 Ks expected. 3 earned runs, a poor quality start. No! Joe! This is the Cry Sox! You can't just like take the foot off the gas. Because it's the White Sox. You gotta like, this is how you win a Cy Young. You go like 8 innings, 1 earned run with like 14 strikeouts in this game to make up for the times that it's a little bit more of a struggle against the really good teams. Come on, Joe. You can do it. Clark Schmidt against the Athletics gave me a streaming victory as he got the win. 5.1 innings of 6 base runners, 6 hits. Yes, it's 3 earned runs. It's like one more than you really wanted, but we'll take the win absolutely all day with those, with the whip and the strikeouts. All good there. And it's good he got more practice with the cutter against lefties. I very firmly believe by the end of the year, mid-season really, that Clark Schmidt's going to be better and better with that cutter to lefties, and that will be when it all comes together. Nick Lodolo against the Phillies. Yeah, not very good because it's the Phillies. And his changeup went 10 for 21 strikes despite it getting low, but like not good enough. And the curve was good, but not unreal that it took everything, took over the game, I should say. Yeah, he's a cherry bomb, probably. I mean, he got the White Sox and he did really well. He got the Phillies and didn't do very well. You know, this was in Sin City, as I like to call Cincinnati. I guess the Padres next. I guess that's all right. Yeah, Lodolo is also in that purgatory of like, yeah, we're just not quite there. Yarier Rodriguez got one of his last starts likely because he's against the Royals and it was 4 innings of 3 runs. And yeah, this is the other side of it. Like, I watched Yarier Rodriguez in the first one. Everyone goes, oh man, he's great. And I understand why, but also sliders and sweepers are really all he has. And this one was just 2/25 slider whiffs. And then the four seamer went down to 92.8. This was supposed to be like 95, 96. And he only threw about 70 pitches. Not fun. And he's got like one more left against the Royals and it looks like he's getting limited, and don't touch Yarier Rodriguez. He wasn't even on the list, right? Sixto Sanchez against Atlanta. Cool to see Sixto, and pretty dang cruel to start him against Atlanta. It's like when Brandon Pfaadt came up last year, they started him against all the tough teams. It was like in Coors and the Rangers and the Rays when they were good. It was like, why are you doing this to him? Anyway, it's cool to see him, but he's not going to be starting. He only threw 59 pitches. Ty Bloch. Jack Flaherty against the Rays. 5 innings, 4 runs. 7 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. To be honest here, to be fair, four seamers are still in the middle of the plate, and those got hit. Yes. Four of those did, and then 3 sliders that were low and actually good got hit. So it goes. You know, it's Flaherty you're going to still keep rolling with because I think the upside is too good. And yes, he does have that fault with his four-seamer. And it's very possible the slider and curve get worse before the four-seamer gets better. And then it actually becomes more cherry bomb-esque. But I think for the most part, Flaherty is still good enough and he can be better with that fastball. Spencer Arrighetti, the pasta pirate, is likely out of the Houston rotation now. 3.2 innings of 4 runs here against the Cubs. But at least he got 7 strikeouts and he had 12 for 58 whiffs on his four-seamer. But everything else wasn't very good. That's nice to see that true precision on the four-seamer. And I do think there is actually something legit here with Arrighetti over time. Even though this was without Bellinger, the Cubs were still enough for him. And now I think it's a 4-man rotation for the Astros as they go to Mexico City. So they have 2 off days there. And then also, you have Framber Valdez likely coming back next week. So I feel like you should drop him if you hadn't already, because we didn't really like this one with the Cubs anyway. But at some point, I do imagine Arrighetti will appear again. And I would be considering him at the very least in 15-teamers when that happens if he's not facing the toughest opponents. Carlos Carrasco against the Red Sox had a birthday party last week, or a cookie cake, or whatever you want to call it, because his name is Cookie. You get it? Okay, cool. And those I thought he would have a birthday week against the Red Sox, not meant to be. Of course, you know, it's Carlos Carrasco. So we do not continue with that. Jake Irvin against the Dodgers had a good start against him. Actually won the only 2 pitchers this year to get a win against the Dodgers. Both the Nationals, Mitchell Parker and Jake Irvin. Very strange. This was terrible. Of course it was. So don't start Jake Irvin. Now, Garrett Crochet arguably could have been the lead, but I started him at the beginning of the season, like as the SP roundup. I tried to hesitate a ton of repeating guys for the roundup throughout the year. They're like 180 days of the year. Sorry, roundups that I do. And every year there are over 180 starters. So usually it's like you get 2 a year for each guy. And I didn't want the second one to already be now with Crochet. So with Crochet, 4 innings, 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks against the Twins. He had the start of the year with 3 excellent outings, and then his last 3 have been poor. The first 2 of this recent trend, one was really unfortunate luck, like completely just, ugh, God, rolling your eyes. The second one was against the Phillies, and it was a day where his slider wasn't as good. This one was against the Twins, and yeah, the slider once again, well, it actually wasn't bad. It just wasn't utilized. He had over a 22% slider usage in his first 3 games. Actually, some of them were like 40 and 30. And then one of them was like 22 or 25. And then the last 3 have all been under 20%. I don't know why. Because Crochet's slider is a very important part of this arsenal. His fastball, to me, is really reliant on the upper parts of its vert and velocity. It is not a good attack angle. And actually, I wouldn't even say vert. It's more extension than vert on that four-seamer, which means that if he is throwing it all around the zone, he's going to get hit with it. And then the cutter is more of just a mix-up pitch. It's not like you go fastball cutter and that's it. No, you're supposed to go fastball slider. And all of a sudden, the last three starts, he's all been under 20% usage on the slider. And I would say, okay, it's because the slider isn't good. He doesn't have it, so he can't. But he had it in this one. It was 8 for 12 strikes on the slider. Like, that's a 67% strike rate. Why isn't it more than 12? I don't know. So it's weird. And this was just 15% usage on it. That makes me feel like, okay, wait, hold on a second. Crochet, we know that you can be better. So I'm not ready to jump ship completely. But also, I classified him as a cherry bomb to start the year, Garrett Crochet, right? That was what I called him in the first start. I was like, I don't know if I trust this yet because Garrett Crochet is just forcing more slider. And I don't know if I think the slider is this massive strike pitch. And then I saw the cutter and I became more convinced. And then all of a sudden now it's so annoying. It's like, he changes as a pitcher, so then I change. But then as I change, it then gets worse. I don't do what you want with Garrett Crochet. I very much grasp the win chance being tough, right? He did get a win in his first three games. And I saw that there was a poll that people wanted Jordan Hicks more than Garrett Crochet. And I think that was even before this start. Maybe it was after it. I just think that was ridiculous because Jordan Wicks is like very precarious. And like, it's whatever. And they're like, oh, win chances. I'm like, but it's the Giants. And like, it's not really that much of a gap of win chance. I understand how bad the White Sox offense is, but like, they just scored three runs against Joe Ryan. I don't know. It's weird. Do what you want. Honestly, I personally, if I have Garrett Crochet on my teams, I'm holding him, right? I don't have him on my teams because it was passive in the beginning of the year, but I wouldn't drop him quite yet. I would give him at least one more against the Twins because at least the first one wasn't like that. The first bad game was actually like weirdness and like he deserved better in that one. All right. Looking forward to tomorrow's games because today's not really many updates. You have Bailey Ober. You have Simeon Woods Richardson instead, who is the stream pick of the day against the White Sox. And if you're listening to this, you probably are too late because these are afternoon games. I'm going to be able to write the roundup early today. Oh boy. Actually early. Okay. I know I'm beginning it doing it late and everything today. I can, and I'm so excited. That's just the things I get excited about. So looking forward to tomorrow's games because I can't really help you today anymore. Corbin Burnes, Zach Gallen, Zach Eflin, Jesus Lazardo, Aaron Nola, Bailey Ober, all very clear auto starts. Shota Imanaga, I don't care, that's Fenway. Nathan Eovaldi and Chris Sale are on that fringe of like, I'm a Holly and not like the greatest matchups ever, but yeah, you're going to start those guys. Probable start tier, I'm actually going to add Seth Lugo. I forgot to update the table. Seth Lugo is going to be at the end of the auto start tier against Detroit, because yeah, if you have him, you're going to do that. Joe Musgrove, Cutter Crawford, Reese Olson are in this tier as well. Also, Chris Bassett, I should say. Reese Olson is our stream pick of the day against the Royals. I feel good about that. I think I'm better with Simeon Woods Richardson as a higher floor, but Reese Olson, I think, is just one of those guys that you pick up and you don't drop. So that's why I'm going to highlight him more today. Luis Gil against the Brewers is another judgment day because he had a really good one against the Rays that saved him his start. Now you got to prove that it wasn't just a Dennis where it came around once and doesn't stick around for long. That's what a Dennis is from 30 Rock. Like, he shows up and then gets removed by the end of the episode. So Jose Budo against the Cardinals also at the end of probable start as, yeah, that is fine. I don't think the Cardinals offense is very good. And Jose Budo, while not having an electric repertoire, yeah, that should be okay. Questionable starter, two guys on the West Coast. That is Gavin Stone and Kyle Harrison. Both of them had high expectations for some in the beginning of the year. I was hoping to look forward a little bit more from Gavin Stone. We haven't really seen his changeup always be there, and the secondary stuff is kind of questionable, and the Dodgers are saying, yeah, we're not going to just trust you for six innings. So at Toronto, pretty questionable there, and Kyle Harrison's four-seamer is not getting the whiffs that you want against the Pirates, who have been kind of decent. Kind of decent. There you go. The most most adoration I've given the Pirates in a long time. Do not start tiers, Patrick Sandoval, Emerson Hancock, Graham Ashcraft, Colin Ray, Miles Michaelis, Ross Stripling, Quinn Priester, Trevor Williams, Never Trevor. I know that Trevor Williams actually has not been the worst this year, but it's Never Trevor. Just follow that rule and don't think about him because he certainly doesn't think about other people. Chris Flexen and Logan Allen. Logan Allen, I would have, I'm actually going to be switching to put above Ross Stripling because he does have an opportunity to go six innings, even though it is against Atlanta. Miles Michaelis at the Mets. I'm curious why I just said that about Trevor Williams. Come talk to me in the chat. Anyway, Graham Ashcraft at Texas is an interesting one. It's all about command stuff. But, like, I feel like the top half of this Do Not Start tier of, like, Sandoval, Hancock, Ashcraft, Ray, Miles Michaelis, and Logan Allen, and I guess Ross Stripling, are definitively higher than, like, Quinn Priest or Trevor Williams and Chris Flexen. At least those guys have, like, the leash to go six innings. That is it for today. Enjoy your Thursday. Enjoy the Plus Pitch podcast tomorrow morning, and of course the SB Fab forecast. It is wonderful talking to you guys. My name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high. Enjoy Cole Reagan's day.